Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu. From Blue Wire Podcasts.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Touchline Fracker. This week, I am your host, Mariah. How you doing, people? It's been a while. Let me go around and introduce this evening's panel. The clubs come well represented. I'll start with you, Anu. Anu, how's it going, brother?
Yes, good, man. Villain. I'm the new villain. I'm happy.
You are the new villain. I listened to your first appearance on the main pod, and to be honest with you, you earned a few enemies. Words like shameless, repugnant, disgusting. Those were the words that were used to describe you. Obviously, I'm hosting today, so it's a clean slate with me. We'll see how you use that slate. Sam the man, reference Spurs. You got the Spurs top on. You got the Spurs shirts in the background.
Yeah.
You're fully repping. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me onto this podcast. Looking forward to how this goes.
Moises. Arsenal / West Ham. How you doing, sir?
I'm very good. I'm doing well, man. How are you, Mario?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Which one of your two clubs are you repping this evening?
Both. Fire at me, man. Both. Yeah,
cool. Probably won't speak about one of them, to be honest with you. The one that actually pulled out a good result, funnily enough.
Let's do it.
Nah. How about we don't? Good to have you on, brother. Good. So before we get into it, I have to do my job and plug our social. So I'll start off by plugging our YouTube channel. All our pods go on up on there. So you've got Mugger on there. You've got Cop and Fracker. You've got Touchy Gooners. You've got Chessy Hour. You've got Touchline Hotspurs. And of course, you've got the main pod. So tune into the YouTube. While you're tuning in, make sure you subscribe. Even if you don't like the look of our faces, it was always nice to know how many people are watching our videos. We will continue to push out the content regardless. For those of you who are more into the audio side of things, we've got our Discord channel. You heard me on the Discord a couple of weeks ago. Listen, I take no pride in what I did to Lewis. He's a good friend. And he just caught me on a particular day when I was in the mood and I needed and needed to serve up a carcass, and he just happened to be the carcass in the way that day. Sign up to the Discord. That's what you get on Discord. It's raw. It's less polished. We had a Discord today. The Arsenal boys were on there. Moises will get into that performance. They were pretty quiet. Again, like I say, library settings these days when Arsenal play. But yeah, tune into Discord. For those of you who support Manchester United, you need to come on, because at the moment, Arsenal have the most members on our Discord platform, and we need to make sure that we're well represented. So when Arsenal are pulling out these results, that we're able to make sure that they really feel it. Other than that, follow the Twitter, follow the Instagram. When you are listening, share, use the hashtag. And with all that being said, let's get into it, lads. Moises, I'll start with you just because your game is the most recent and also the most forgettable at the same time. The irony, that duality that Arsenal are serving me up at the moment is almost poetic. It's poetic, brother. So going into the game, you had Aubameyang starting up top. A lot of the guys have been asking for that. Pepe will be Pepe. Ceballos, a favourite of Lewis, was starting as well. What were your thoughts about the lineup and then the performance going in to the game? And eventually the result.
Going into the game, I've seen quite a lot of Leeds. I watched them last season before in the Championship. I followed Bielsa. I'm a big fan of Bielsa. So I didn't really have much hope going into the game. I thought that they did exactly as I expected. They popped the ball around us. They outplayed us. They just didn't take their chances, really. Arteta, more the same thing, really pragmatic. Didn't really seem like he was really going to win the game. He didn't really like he was pushing the boys on to go and do anything. Aubameyang starting in the middle was fine, but at the same time, what did he have around him? Nothing. Like, there wasn't much coming from Willian. There wasn't much coming from Pepe. Willock was a good shout, but it's fair to say we might as well just get Ozil back in the 10 role and see what happens from there. Like, Ceballos, people rant and rave about him, but for me, he's not there. He's not really what we need right now. Neither is Xhaka. It comes down to like one thing. Like, why would Madrid be so happy to let him go? And it's just evident, really. He hasn't got much about him. Like, he can't really steer us forward. He's our most creative player, arguably, in the midfield, and he doesn't really produce much. That was the general consensus around like other Arsenal fans that I was speaking to. Everyone kind of felt like, yeah, it's a game that we're probably going to lose. And I'm pretty much happy with the 0-0 draw because I didn't really expect much going into it.
Really? That's interesting you say that, because going into the game, Leeds lost 4-1 to Crystal Palace, 4-1 to Leicester City. So they seem to be leaking goals. So if there was any game where you guys would have hoped to maybe get a few goals on the board, this would have been it. I mean, in their 9 games, they've conceded 17 goals. What does that say about Arteta's approach, Arteta's Arsenal, that you weren't even able to get a goal? And to be honest, even going forward, you didn't look dangerous.
Yeah, it says a lot about it. Because look, the reason why Leeds are leaking so many goals is because they're very attacking side. So when you play against Leeds, you have to go gung-ho. You have to go at them and just throw everything out. You have to try and outscore them, because that's what they're going to try to do against you. Arteta set the team he set out today had no intention of scoring goals. There was nothing in the midfield to give Aubameyang anything, whether or not if he started in the middle or not. So for me, from when I looked at the starting lineup, I already knew it was a write-off, because with that side that we put out is not going to go out and attack Leeds. That's why, regardless of their form, we didn't put the team out to go and attack the game. So it wasn't going to come from anywhere. You can't magic up that sort of creativity. You can't magic up an attacking formation. You got to put the boys out. They're going to go out and do it. And he didn't do that for me.
Do you have the boys to go out and do it? Do you have the profile of players, or is Arteta hamstrung from beginning, before the game even starts? With the options you have, is it very difficult for him to even approach a game like that? With that kind of mentality you've just described?
It is, but at the same time, we don't have the players, but at the same time, he doesn't set them out to go out and win the game. He's very pragmatic in his approach. I think he goes out to be very steady. I think he tries to control the game. I think he sets up from the defence, which is a good idea, because we've pulled off quite a few 1-0s like under Arteta, and we've looked quite stable at the back under Arteta. But the big thing is, in these lesser games, you can't go pragmatic against these smaller teams. You've got to go and attack them. And that's what I think he lacks.
Interesting. You use the word pragmatic. And I almost think when we talk about football these days, pragmatic, it becomes synonymous with defensive, when really that's not what pragmatic means. It means when your thoughts are more based on practical application than theoretical application. So he could be pragmatic and still be more front foot, more forward facing, more attack, with a more attacking approach to the game. Pep Guardiola is pragmatic. He wants his team to go out, attack and dominate, and he uses his practical ideas to make that happen on the pitch. So before I come back to you, Moises, I want to ask the other gentleman, Anu, and I'll go to you, Anu. When you look at Arsenal, you talk about pragmatic, you talk about Arteta and their approach to the game. What do you see? What do you see when you watch them?
I see a team that's lacking a lot of identity. Because I don't think anyone can identify their style. I'm pretty sure Arteta was brought in to play this free-flowing, play from the back football. I'm pretty sure that was the intention. I remember actually Community Shield game when they scored, that very good passing goal from the back, and everyone's like, this is Arsenal's, this is how they're going to be. But it seems like that's not developed. That's the first bit. The next point is that let's not forget, because you sound so defeatist. These Arsenal fans, they're talking like this is not the team that was, this is not Twerking FC that were dancing when they beat Man U 1-0. They at that time were making a lot of noise. They thought they were top Premier League contenders. They did. So
don't think your levels because you beat us, innit? Like, we'll get to our game, but we're struggling against the likes of West Brom. Don't think your level. Like you're saying, they played us. They beat us. I don't know if they thought they were title challenges, but they were definitely looking at.
They were making noise. They were vibes in. They were trying to dubstep on us. It was all after body.
Exactly.
Okay. And now it's hangover.
Two, three weeks later.
It's interesting to hear Arsenal fans talk about how they expected maybe to lose against Leeds, who are a championship promoted team. It's very confusing because that has to be a must-win game. So I think there's a real issue going on with Arsenal. As a Chelsea fan, I can't lie, and it's nice to watch, but. There's a serious case of a lack of identity, and they're serious problems. Not to mention Pep. I think that we'll get into that later. But the team's rattled right now.
You're on the ropes, and obviously Sam, you're on the white side of North London, the currently dominant side of North London. When you see the opposition, listen, no dissent from you, Moises, yeah. The lads let you speak. You let the lads speak. You're on the dominant side of North London. When you look over at your opposition, what do you see? How sorry are they right now?
Well, I mean, I was expecting, to be honest with you, for Leeds to beat Arsenal, because after watching that Aston Villa performance, and Bielsa's obviously loves his attacking football, I'd think, well, they're going to give it a go at least, get all that attacking football out right now. But, you know, I was actually quite surprised to see how hesitant Leeds were with their shooting. I think the problem with Arsenal... They had 25 shots, but I'm talking about when they actually took the shot.
Okay.
Yeah, like the Bamford's one, for example, not the header to the...
Sorry, it's because you said hesitant, but keep going.
Yeah. No, that's cool. But yeah, I think the main problem with Arsenal is that you know, you can, there's so many roots of the issues, you know, like the board, for example, maybe even the management and this, that, the other. But what I noticed a lot from Arsenal is that there's too much premature bigging up, like a lot. I'm not saying it's from Moise himself, because he does actually come across like as a very balanced and reasonable Arsenal fan, and I'll give you that one.
just that one.
But yeah. But I think, like I said, there's just too much premature bigging up until, you know, the actual days come where Arsenal really put in the spotlight and they're just not performing under it. You know, Arteta, you know,
you said about Spurs as well.
Pardon?
You said that about Spurs as well.
Did I say that about Spurs as well?
Moises, I respect what you're doing. I respect what you're doing. Right. But what did I ask you? I asked you, please, sir, no dissent. I'll let you guys have it out. I'll let you guys have it out in a minute. But let Sam finish his point, and then you can rebut. Yeah. We can all be gentlemen here. We can all be friends, can't we? Surely.
I know he's hating the fact that it's a Spurs fan cussing at Arsenal, but I'm just saying it how I see it. Like,
call it how you see it, mate. That's what we like on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a lot of talk, but you know, at crucial moments during the game. Okay, granted, it's beginning of the season, but you know, there's just that lack of intensity and that lack of fight from Arsenal.
We're a quarter of the way through. You say the beginning of the season.
We played a quarter of the way through.
Let me just read out the top line stats for Arsenal Football Club. So they've played 9 games. They've won 4. They've drawn 1. They've lost 4. They've scored 9 goals. And they've conceded.
They haven't scored from open play. They haven't scored from open play as well. In like, I think the stat at the time was 7 hours. Now it's.
Oh, so now it's 8.5. You're saying it's now 8.5 hours?
Yeah, of game time. Yeah, of game time, if I'm not mistaken.
Wowzers.
You'd think it was like the issue with Aubameyang playing at the wing, you know. I'm pretty sure he got played at the centre today at least, because obviously Arteta realised the obvious issues, but...
Yeah, and it still hasn't quite led to a goal against what I think... Let me just check the stats again. The third leakiest... Yeah. Defense in the league. Obviously, the two teams that are above them are Fulham and West Brom. So, Moses, with everything shaping up how it's shaping up, you now in a position where you're going into games against promoted Leeds and you're still not confident that your team can pull out the win. What next for you guys? Because I'm hearing Arteta being compared to the likes of Unai Emery. How long has he been in the job now?
I'd rather forget. I can't remember.
His memory's cleared.
I'd rather forget.
It's closing in on a year. Let's say it's closing on a year. Has he made progress?
Nah. The comparisons are fair. I'll say that. The comparisons are very fair. I watched a lot of Arsenal under United Emery. It's the same thing. It's pretty much the same thing anyway. Like, it's how he approaches games, the way he does, how he overthinks things. It's all the same. But I just want to touch on Sam's point.
Okay.
About, you know, like about us being nearly men. Would you say that Spurs are nearly men?
Yeah, but this question wasn't about Spurs though, it's about Arsenal.
I just want to touch on that. You had a lot to say. I didn't actually even say
nearly men. I said that when the timing gets tough, then
it gets the lights are on and it okay,
yeah.
Well, the lights
and I think it's difficult for you to refute what Sam has said. I respect what you're doing. I respect what you're doing. You're trying to Sam answer the question he was asked. You are trying to ask a whole new question.
And I get that a lot with other Arsenal fans. So
yeah, it's like
you should focus on your own issues really, rather than, you know, your sorry for saying it bluntly, but yeah.
100%. I agree with that. But there's a lot going on at Spurs as well. Like, I'll ask you the same question again. Would you take our 10 years over your 10 years? The last 10 years.
You're bringing that up before we started the filming, are we? Listen, I already told you my answer. I told you my answer how it is. It's not as simple as the way you put it, because you've got to look at a whole load of other things as well. You know, you've got to look at Tottenham's top 4 consistent finishing. You've got to look at what Pochettino actually did for Tottenham in terms of, you know, improvements as a consistent side in the league. The only thing that doesn't come into the equation, obviously, is trophies. Now we look at you, like I said earlier as well, you know, you've won your trophies, fair play. But have you actually gone forward as a club other than, you know, adding up?
How many times have you finished above you in the last 10 years? How many times have you finished above us in the last 10 years?
We finished above you in the 2016-17. Yeah. I'm counting. In 2016-17 season, 2018-19... 920. Okay, so I think it's either 3 or 4 times. We've definitely started it off consistently 2016-17. Yeah.
It's three. All right,
so it's 3.
So 3 out of 10.
Bro,
you don't have trophies to show.
But wait. Can I be the host for 2 seconds? Sam, But
you can't be the host, but you can interject.
2 seconds.
Let's make it clear. You can't be the host, but you can interject.
I can ask the question.
Yes.
Sam, the question that was asked to you was, would you take your 10 years or would you take Arsenal's 10 years? And it has to be, but okay, you don't want to give a yes or no, but for this, can you say which one you would take? There's no ask a friend. There's no 50-50. It's would you take
a definitive answer? Hang on a second.
Yes or no?
Right. If we took Arsenal's 10 years.
Life or death.
No. This isn't a yes or no answer for you. But I've explained over and over again. You know, if we took Arsenal's 10 years of just winning FA Cups, which we have been a trophy winning side before, by the way, in the 80s when we won 3 FA Cups and a Europa League. All right. Did we actually go forward as a club?
Sam, you weren't even born then. Come on, man. You know what? Let me be honest. I've been doing this for a while, so I kind of have learned to read between the lines. The answer is that he'd take Arsenal's 10 years, but he doesn't want to say he'd take Arsenal's 10 years.
Say what you want, bro.
Because if you would take Spurs' 10 years, you would have just said it. You would have just said, I would have taken our 10 years. In your omission of an answer, you've answered. So we'll leave it there. We'll marinate on it. And because you're on the spotlight at the moment, Sam, we'll continue with you, sir. So
Can I just say something?
Sure, sir.
These are Spurs' best 10 years, by the way. Yeah. And these are our worst 10 years. And you wouldn't even take your 10 years over our last 10 years. That says something. Like, that's all I have to say. Like, you can say whatever you like about consistency, league finishes, how well you're doing. I don't want to hear it. That's the fact of that's the bottom line of it all. These are the best 10 years as a Spurs fan in your life. These are the best 10 years in your life as a Spurs fan. And these are the worst 10 years in my life as an Arsenal fan. And you're not that much better than us. Like, you've only just turned the tide in the last season or so. So that's it there. That's it there.
No, that's cool. I remember those days when you lot were very gassed over this whole St. Tottenham's Day thing, you know, finishing above us.
Yeah, we actually won things. You need
not really. You had a nine-year drought.
You need that Champions League qualification. That was a big thing for you guys. And we kept you out of it again for another year. So of course we're going to laugh at you. Like,
as I was saying.
At the end of the day, our summit is the Premier League. Yours is probably second in the Champions League final.
Well, no, not really, because during those 9 years... Hang on a second. During those 9 years, your sole aim was finishing above Tottenham. That during your 9 years drought of not winning a trophy, your sole aim was finishing above Tottenham.
Not really.
Lads. I'm gonna... Guys. Moises, Sam. Moises and Sam. Guys, I'm going to have to step in there. As much as me and Anu were enjoying that, and it very much felt like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know when the tune starts playing? Watching you guys go at it, you're both trash, all right? So, with that being said,
We can talk about Aubameyang. We can talk about Aubameyang's form, but your strikers aren't doing much better.
Well, they are. Don't talk yourself into a problem.
I would say the numbers are better, but they're not showing out, are they?
They're
trash too.
No, what are Spurs' strikers are trash.
No, I'm talking about United.
Oh, you're coming to me.
Yeah.
And now it's my turn.
Remember, I'll just mute you, bro. So just, you know, Sam.
Yeah.
I'll be talking.
Moises is threatening to throw this pod into disarray. After telling us at the start that he didn't care, he's now threatening to destroy everything we've built.
I'll defend Arsenal. I've got to, but I can't defend. I can't defend our performances. I can't defend our manager. But if you're gonna start chatting West, then I'm gonna defend Arsenal because I don't feel like any of you are in a position to talk about Arsenal right now. Like, the mighty have fallen. That's just the times we're in.
Okay.
But everyone's
okay.
Pointing fingers. I'm not pointing fingers at none of you unless you guys point fingers at me because we're all in a bad position.
Okay. Let me. I've been trying to for the last 2-3 minutes get to Sam to give his analysis on Spurs. You actually won this weekend, Sam, and you should get to enjoy that. A as long as Moises allows it. When I spit bars in a ring,
man, I go hard like Santan. Hello, Mies here from Touchline Fracas. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. So businesses all over the globe have been challenged to be their most efficient, and that means that every single hire that they have is critical. Indeed are the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the right person for your business. Unlike other job sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring, so you only pay for what you need. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a shortlist of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out for a free $75 credit at indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. When I spit bars in a ring,
man, I go hard like Santan. So, you played Manchester City on Saturday.
Yeah.
2-0 win. We spoke about it, but we're going to speak about it again. So, what were your thoughts going into the game? And tell me what you thought of your performance, your standout players. Yeah, yeah, let us hear it, sir.
No, I actually felt confident for Man City. Like, I did believe that we were going to get a result against them. You know, I thought a draw wouldn't have been a disgraceful one, but I was going for a win. And, yeah, I got that right. I got to be honest, I was actually less nervous for Man City than I am for Chelsea, because obviously, you know, it's a London derby. It's away at Stamford Bridge, you know. No matter how good you're playing, these factors can never take it away from you. There's always something that's waiting to bite you. So, yeah, that's the reason why I felt like that. But, you know, you look at this City game, it's a huge contrast as well to our last 2-0 win as well against Man City. Because obviously we were gifted with a Zivchenko red card, you know, gifted as well for not having a second penalty, which, you know, I get into a lot of arguments with Spurs fans about this, but I actually did think Lloris might have got the last touch on Sterling. But this one was completely different because we, like you were talking about earlier about pragmatic, you know, Mourinho knew exactly how City were going to play their game. They were onto us the whole time. And we just played this defensive structure where, you know, just contain yourselves. We didn't let them go for a set piece. And set pieces normally are burden. And two shots, two on target, clear counter-attacking football. I just want to see if people are still, you know, flogging that dead horse about, you know, Mourinho being a dinosaur, this, that, the other. They'd rather have Arteta or so-and-so as a manager than Mourinho. Etc.
Oh, you're coming for that.
No, I'm not saying Moises has said that, but a lot of Arsenal fans have said that, because I know Moises.
Nobody wants these managers. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants Mourinho. Nobody wants Arteta in a time like this. Like, that's not.
Well, why wouldn't you want Mourinho after, you know, the performances that we've seen at the start?
I wouldn't watch a Mourinho team, to be fair. Like, if Arsenal had Mourinho, I wouldn't watch that. I'd check the scores, but I wouldn't watch that.
Is it just down to your, like, personal dislike towards Mourinho, or you just don't rate him as a manager?
I don't rate his style of play. I'm not gonna pay him.
But you're watching Mourinho football now.
Yeah, I watch it. Like you said, I follow West Ham too. I watch football because I love football. Like, I'm so far away from.
You watch Mourinho football under Unai Emery.
That's because I didn't know what to expect.
So if you was your manager, you probably would watch Arsenal then.
What if I was, sorry, say that again.
So if you was your manager, you probably would watch Arsenal then, yeah?
No, because I know what to expect from you.
Okay. You're literally watching it under Arteta and continuing to watch Arsenal, and you watch it under Unai Emery.
I didn't know what to expect under Arteta or Emery. I didn't know they were going to go and do that. But yeah. With Mourinho, I know what I'm going to get, so I'm not watching that. Like, I'll check the scores, but I'm not watching that. I'm not watching that for 90 minutes.
Have you stopped watching Arsenal now?
I watch it here and there. Like, I watch some games. Like after today's game, the Leeds game, I saw them bopping us. I watched for Leeds. I didn't watch for Arsenal.
All right, man. So you're calling it, Sam, to come back to, you're calling it a masterclass. I think in your last, I don't know if it's 5-6 games against City, is something like 6 shots, 5 on target.
They scored against us either at the stadium. Goals,
and there's something for them like, what, 51 shots?
Yeah.
51 shots, 2 goals or something along those lines. Do you think you're treading on thin ice with those sorts of performances, or are you happy to continue to approach games the way you're approaching them, and you count on a resolute defence, a solid midfield, and Harry Kane, who seems to be back to his best, and Heung-min Son showing the form of his life?
So the thing is, like I said, it's pragmatic. It's not always going to be like this for games. You know, we had a bit of a wake-up call, you know, against West Ham when we tried to kill the game off, and then they managed to get 3 against us. Although I did feel like, you know, there was some poor refereeing decisions there, but I'm not going to excuse the manner of how we capitulated for that game. Then again, you can also look at Southampton, you know, scored 5 goals. Hate to bring this up against you, but we did absolutely pummel you 6-1 as well. So it's not, it just depends on who we play, because with Man City, they've got a very attractive style of attacking football. So that's why Mourinho went for that approach, and it worked. It works superbly. Mourinho is, I'm sorry, but Mourinho has played a lot of attacking. If you're saying that Mourinho is a dinosaur and, you know, just plays this dead park to bus style of play, then you either just have an agenda against Mourinho or you just don't watch football. That's the way I see it. That's the way I feel about it. You know,
so are you saying that is Mourinho now? For what you've seen at Spurs, you're just commenting on what you've seen at Spurs. Yeah, so you're saying basically from what you've seen, he switches up his style depending on who he's playing.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw that. You look at the contrast between City and Southampton. You know, City, you've got to be careful and put your defensive work on. And our defense, you know, even though I don't rate some of the players in our team, Mourinho has done really well to get them above their usual level. You know, with the likes of Eric Dier. Even Højbjerg, who I didn't rate particularly at Southampton, but now he's been literally our most important player because we needed that CDM role, and he's been executing that style of play-wise superbly. And, you know, with Harry Kane as well, if he can't... He's clearly, like, getting something out of him, not just making him a target man like Pochettino would normally, because, you know, if he can't score, then he's got the ability to assist. And it's clear that Mourinho's read that because... You know, when Harry Kane first started bagging goals, people didn't really know too much about this Harry Kane guy. And then as soon as they did, you know, Harry Kane was literally getting marked left, right and centre when he was going to tap. But when he sits deep, though, people aren't going to want to get into him as much. And that's why he's able to execute these things, because he's not just someone who's got a great shot in him. He's got the perfect passing ability, the long passes, cross, you name it. And this is under Mourinho, you know, widening the player's abilities. So... yeah, that's what I've got to say about Mourinho.
So you seem very much Jose in, and I'll agree with you and say that this is actually some of the very, very best football I've seen Harry Kane play since Harry Kane's been around, really. So, yeah, testament to him for coming back from what felt was a rough 12 months or so, a few injuries, and testament to Jose Mourinho, because I think the talk was very much that he was going to be awful for Harry Kane's career, and that's proven not to be the case. How far can this Spurs side go? It is early in the season, but next week is game week 10. You've got Chelsea. We will get into that a bit later. But how bullish are you about this Spurs side?
Yeah, so it's a weird one, that, because I was not expecting us to be, you know, as of currently right now, title contenders and, well, yeah, still sitting on first place as well. Yeah. I just wasn't expecting that. I was just expecting, you know, either a League Cup win or Europa League win, or, you know, maybe on a very blessed occasion, both. But yeah, it depends, really. If we don't get injuries and we keep up this style of play consistently, we can honestly beat anyone or not drop points on our day. And, you know, we still got Chelsea to play, still got Liverpool, Leicester to play as well. Just have to wait and see, really, because I don't want to sit here and say, like, oh yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, because this, right now, this was something I wasn't expecting of where we are now. And this has taken me by storm. So we just got to see where it goes.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You're looking not too bad. I haven't been so impressed myself. But listen, you're definitely one of the four best teams thus far this season, and you're going to be a tough out. You mentioned your game next week, and I would be remiss not to then nicely lead into Anu, Mr. Chelsea. Anu, 2-0 win against Newcastle. Some guys were telling me they were your bogey team. I was telling them that they're probably the worst team I've seen this season. What did you think of the performance?
Yeah, just to confirm, they most certainly are one of our bogey teams. Every team has them. A team that they just seem to get. They seem to turn up against us. So it could have easily happened. It was a very possible banana skin game, especially after the international break that happened. You don't know how your players are going to come back. You don't know how they're going.
You think so? They beat you four times in your last 13 games.
Yes, but and all those times they're not really expected to even the four times they won, they probably weren't even expected to win. And I think maybe you probably look at there are quite a few draws in there.
There is one draw.
So they
beat you four times, you drew five times, and you won the other they beat you four times, you drew one time, and you won the other eight times. Sorry,
okay. And I'm just pretty sure there was just times where there were must-win games, and we weren't supposed to
lose.
It was just an opportunity for a banana peel. And again, as I said, off the international break, it could happen. But agreed. We let go on like we were good. Newcastle really allowed that to happen. They were so poor, so it wasn't a very good test. First half, we've dominated so much. It was training ground stuff. Should have been about 4-0 up in the halftime. And then second half, let it slip a tiny bit. They had a few chances, probably lack of concentration, but we got the job done. Werner, beautiful assist.
How many did he miss?
I'll come back to that one in a bit.
Okay.
But thank you for your input.
Is this is this what you're on, Moises? How many? You'd be honored for your strikers to even get those level of chances to miss.
So no, just to conclude. So listen, we didn't play our best, but we got the win, and I think that's all that we can ask for. The team's shaping up nicely. Don't forget, this team's still building. This team is still building. Like the team's still putting these players together. Mendy, Chilwell, players on COVID. So I was very happy with it. Now back to your question, Moises. What did you say? You said how many did Werner miss?
What did you say?
How many did Werner miss? Okay. So Werner probably missed about, I'll tell you his exact chances. He had a chance early on, which he actually fantastic save by Darlow, who's having the season to remember. He then missed a chance where he got put in. Yeah, he pulled it left. So that's two. And then, even though I think the first one is harsh to say he missed it, I think it was a fantastic save. He missed the second one. And then scored another one, which was offside. Had a beautiful assist from the halfway line. Dribbled the whole back four, basically. Laid up 10
behind. It's all right, when he squared it. When he was bearing down on goal as a striker, why did he square in that position? What do you think that was down to? Would you say that? What do you put that down to?
I'll be honest. I think it was down
coming
to
off the back, coming off the back of like three or four misses. What do you put him squaring it in the box as a striker that costs £100 million? What do you put that down to?
£100 million. You've just answered your own question.
It's
two chances before he thought Ziyech was on for the pass across. He tried to do the classic FIFA goal. Didn't work out. He should have shot. It was poor from him. But
why didn't he shoot though? That's what I want to get into.
Why didn't he shoot? Because he probably thought the pass was a better option, but it wasn't a killing. If you're going to start...
I think I know which moment you're on about, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the one that you passed across, is it? Yeah, it's very clear. But if you're trying to push an agenda that Werner is not looking like a good striker, then listen...
I'm not saying that at all. You're saying...
No. I've given the answer. He probably passed it because he thought the pass was on for our player to score. He wasn't trying to miss on purpose.
How are you getting rattled, man?
No, that makes sense. However, if you're trying to push an agenda that
I asked the question.
I just want to just make this clear because next thing you know, it'll be somebody else speaking. But let me make this clear. If you want to try and push the agenda that Werner is not living up to his hype as a £50 million striker, then please. Please don't waste my time because the guy started this for the season with fantastic numbers, fantastic goal contribution numbers, and there's nothing to follow. Nothing to follow. All
right, cool. Okay. Moises, let's get away from Werner. Get your objective opinion. I hope objective opinion on what you've seen from Chelsea. I think. They started off a bit rocky. They've signed quite a few players, spent quite a bit of money. So the pressure is definitely on for Frank Lampard. But what you've seen of Chelsea the last few weeks, do you think they're starting to put it together?
Yeah, look, they've got to deliver, man. That's what I've got to say on that. They've got to deliver. They have to deliver 100%.
That's not... You're not answering my question.
Why don't you deliver?
They need to deliver. Chelsea needs to deliver.
Come on, guys. Let's
see. The front line that Chelsea have, the money they've spent, the guys they've pushed out, they need to give me at least a Champions League, an FA Cup, something monumental. Like Lampard needs to really go for it this year. Like he has no reason not to.
Yeah, you're doing a Sam right here where you're not answering my question. So based on
I finished really well. I think everything's great at Chelsea. I think they're a good side. I think they've got a great front line, but they have to deliver.
Okay.
There's a lot of names there. There's a lot of numbers there. That's what I'm saying. I love ZX. He's got a wand. He's got a left foot. He's great. Werner, he runs teams ragged. The guy just does not stop running. He runs in straight lines. He beats players with his straight line running. He's a sprinter. He's very, very good.
Well, pace merchant, what he's trying to say.
No, I'm saying, I said that he runs.
This is one of the more shameless performances I've seen on the main pod in a while, to be honest with you, Moises. But keep doing your thing, man. Keep putting your shots up, man, and maybe some of them will land and some of them won't. All right, they have to deliver. When I spit bars in a ring,
man, I go hard last and tan. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division and championship futures all day, every day. Head to Bet Online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.com. AG. That's Blue Wire, all one word. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. When I spit bars in a ring,
man, I go hard last and tan. So let's talk about the game that we all missed because we're here recording. Liverpool, an injury plagued Liverpool, were up against Leicester and they've dealt with it resoundingly. A 3-0 win. For Liverpool, it definitely was not what I was expecting today. I was thinking that Leicester would actually give them a run for their money and they would concede a few goals. But even when you look at the team that they put out, they were able to cobble together a defence made of first teamers. So it was James Milner at right back, Fabinho and Matip at centre back, Robertson at left back, a midfield of Curtis Jones, Wijnaldum and Naby Keita. And then Diego Jota, Roberto Firmino and Sadio Mane up top. Liverpool are second on goal difference. Are they still the team to beat? Obviously, they've got a lot of injuries. Some will say you played a part in that, Anu. But would you say they are the team to beat still?
Where's Harold?
I don't know, man. No. He's probably reveling in the win.
No, Liverpool. Listen, I think they're the real deal. I think they are they're the champions. I think they're the ones to beat the season. They've even shown, which is quite scary, that even with all these injuries, that they can still do a job on a decent Leicester side that have been causing serious trouble. So I really do think they're going to be the ones to beat this season. And clearly they're showing their squad depth. With Thiago still, with loads of players still being out. So it's quite worrying. Yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Sam? Liverpool, they're right behind you. And we know what they're about these last few years. They put up a crazy amount of points. For what you've seen from them, are they the team you're looking out for the most? Obviously, you said you went into the City game and you were pretty confident you were going to win.
Yeah.
And you've still got Liverpool to play. Are they the team you're looking out for the most?
Liverpool is just that one team that always scares me. Like, ever since we beat Liverpool 4-1 at Wembley, they really have changed their ways. And
you like stat dropping your wins, isn't it?
No, it's relevant because that win changed Liverpool to why they are now. So it's just
you think so.
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as we beat Liverpool 4-1 and they had the likes of Dejan Lovren as a centre back and no Van Dijk, they were like, right, we got to change our ways. And that's exactly what they did. And then as soon as they realised some of the signings that they made, you know, like Andy Robertson and Van Dijk were not like for an intention of winning a title or being a title contender. They were there to fill out the gaps, but it turns out that it was money well spent.
75 million was there to fill out the gap.
75 million, but it turns out Van Dijk was worth more than 75 million.
I think that was a very purposeful signing. I think where they were in their evolution, they were a side that were very good going forward, but they didn't necessarily have that resolute defence to complement the style of football that they wanted to play. The start of that season, they did want Van Dijk. Southampton didn't want to let him go. He decided to go on strike and they eventually got their man for 75 million. But I think, they were very purposeful. They built up their team over a few seasons, getting players in slowly.
Yeah.
And now you have a juggernaut, and even with injuries to their main centre-back pairing, their starting right-back, arguably the best right-back in the league, they're able to deal with a very solid side like Leicester. No Salah too, no Henderson, no Thiago.
It's squad depth.
It's ominous. Yeah, squad depth.
Yeah, all right. So the point I was saying about it was that their original signings of what started them was not as title contender. But as soon as they realised they could, that's when they signed the likes of Alisson because they needed someone like Karius out and stuff like that. But to fast forward to this point now, Liverpool have really built their squad into something special. And, you know, like I said earlier, with the squad depth, you know, they might even have to revert back to their old ways where attack will be the best form of defence because they have some brilliant attacking players even without Salah in there. Jota, what a baller. What a player that they signed. And nobody expected Jota to... I mean, they knew he was good, but they didn't expect him to perform to that level.
Yeah.
Liverpool right now just need to, you know, play for time, keep winning games. And, you know, I think it will be a pretty interesting fixture if our results stay the way it is and we get to play Liverpool and the table stays as it is. Because I think it would really put Liverpool to a test if they could handle these tactics that have won us games against the likes of Man City. So, you know, and then I don't even know what's going to happen at Chelsea yet. So got to wait and see for that one.
Yeah, and I guess I've been trying to avoid it all pod, but I guess it's time to talk about us. So we did beat West Brom, a 1-0 win. Mm. Dead performance. The team, there's no tempo in the play. The players don't look very inspired, but we know that a team that's the quality of West Brom are not going to beat us, are they? So the only goal we got was a retaking penalty from Bruno Fernandes. Martial missed a good chance. Much sums up his season thus far. And yeah, it's another 3 points, but just like the win against Everton, you don't really come out of it feeling good, to be honest with you. That's all I really have to say about it. Pogba was injured. Greenwood wasn't in the squad. It's pretty stinky right now. Telles played solid. He's got good technical ability. He can play some good crosses. But don't really enjoy watching us play either.
Are you guys finishing this year?
Outside the top four, maybe top six.
Do you think Josh King would improve your front line?
No, that's a ridiculous question. Do you think he would improve yours?
No, but you guys were linked to him. I know that Ollie's a fan of his. It's well documented days that he may be making moves back, and I think that he would add something to your front line. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, and I've answered. I've said no, and then I've rebutted by asking you, do you think he would improve yours?
Of course not, Aubameyang.
Okay. So you think that? Remember, he can play across the front line. You think that he wouldn't improve your front line?
No.
Interesting. Okay, that's cool. Any other questions, guys?
Was it a Penaldez moment?
or do you want to say he down the other end? He did trip over Gallagher. I think it wasn't a penalty. I think he touched the ball and took his shin at the same time. So they gave the penalty. VAR checked and it was blown off. Then he went up the other end. We got a penalty. He missed. VAR, he got to retake it, and he scored. So you guys all know how I feel about Bruno Fernandes. He's a false image. He's a false image. But even within that game, he can't be beat. He concedes a penalty, and they take that away. He misses a penalty, and they give him another one. What can I do to beat a man that is that powerful? Everything in the universe. No, he's not saving our club because he's not saving our club from relegation. Everything that he'd every time we win a game, it just keeps an incompetent manager in his role that much longer. Like the cord needs to be cut with Ollie. You've got Mata started. That was very bad. Like Mata had a good game a few weeks ago, and I think maybe Ollie has gotten carried away. But you've got guys like Van der Beek who's coming on for 10 minutes. He oozes quality. Where we have that lack of quality in the midfield, the lack of tempo, the lack of ingenuity in the midfield. You've got a player like Van der Beek, and he's unable to get on the pitch. That's damning from the manager. Rashford, I know he didn't go off with injured England because he was injured. He didn't look his best. It's just nothing. We're just churning out results.
Would you say VAR is the most clinical form of attack for you guys?
No, that's again. I don't know. Do you have a ridiculous questions book that you're asking? would you say VAR is the most clinical form? What do you mean? What does that even mean?
I say it's working for you. I think VAR is definitely on your side.
I don't think it's on our side. VAR is a tool that is used by referees to ensure that the correct decisions are made. If VAR is helping that happen, I wouldn't say it's aiding us. It's just doing what should have been done in the first place. It's helping referees do their jobs properly.
They help us against City.
Does that offend you, Moises?
No.
Are you not entertained? Get your pens up, bro. That's what you need to do. Get your pens up, yeah? That's what you need to worry about. Aubameyang looks like he needs them. Get me?
Might have to coach him into falling over then.
Eight and a half hours, no pen. No open play goal. What do you want me to say? You're asking me the questions that you may be... questions you maybe need to be asking yourself, your team. You understand what I'm saying? But I respect it.
Which team? Arsenal or West Ham?
Sorry?
Which team? Arsenal or West Ham?
Which team are following right now?
Let's talk about West Ham. Since you're here and we don't very regularly get a West Ham fan on the pod, let's talk about West Ham. So you guys won today. 1-0 from Haller. I can't remember the last time he scored, to be honest, but a good result for you guys. How is the season going for your Hammers?
I'd say it's indifferent. It's picking up now. The thing is, we'll touch on the goals from Haller. The thing is, it's an identity thing. West Ham expecting that 6-3 to be a hang up in the box, head it in sort of striker. That's not his game at all. He's a link up player, and it shows like he's got a lot more technical ability than Moyes allows him to showcase in the way he sets up the team. And it's just a case of like we saw it today. He got a goal from the edge of the box, like struck it into the top corner. It was a great strike. It was a good goal. Yeah.
Mr. Sitter as well.
Yeah, that's fine. He's not.
That wasn't a shot at him. That was just merely an observation. You don't need to defend him.
No, that's fine. No, it's a fair observation, right? But I don't expect much from West Ham, to be fair, anyway. Like it's going well right now. It's going well. Like that's the whole point of me following West Ham. There's no expectation. It's not gonna dampen my day. It's not gonna dampen my mood. Like, I watch a game, I enjoy watching football, and whatever happens, happens. Like, it's a nice distraction away from Arsenal, really. That's the way it is. And I'm sure you want to touch, Andy, you want to touch on the West Ham thing you asked me, is it West Ham or Arsenal today? It's a bit of everything, it's a bit of both.
They both sound very depressing from your mouth, I'll be honest.
No, I love football.
They sound like they've both broken you. Both of those clubs are broken.
I love football.
Between a rock and a hard place.
It's tough.
No, I followed Leeds. I watch Championship. I watch League One. I watch League Two. Wherever I can get a game, I watch it. Like, it's just,
yeah, you don't sound happy though.
No, because my team ain't doing too good. But I'm not angry either. I'm not upset what's going on. It just is what it is. I'm real stable right now. I'm good.
Oh, you're not good. I think you are sad, to be honest. Football.
No, I'm really happy. Like, if you saw the way, look, I followed Leeds a lot last season. You see the way they're playing. It's really attractive football. It's a shame it's not Arsenal, but it's attractive football.
Okay.
You know, you watch. I see what Antonio's doing. Numbers he's putting up. More he's doing, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy, like, for West Ham. I'm happy for them as a team. I feel like it's coming together really well. Mm-hmm. I like Sosek. He's a good signing. Mm-hmm. I think Soufar is another good player. Mm. I feel like, you know, like David Moyes, even though his football isn't very attractive, I think he's bringing back, he's bringing a bit of joy to East London. Do you know what I mean? That's what counts at the end of the day. Like, West Ham aren't a team that's going to set the world on fire.
Okay.
But they're doing bits here and there. They've got a result against United. They've got results against a lot of teams. So we take it as it comes. Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough. All right. Let's talk about the midweek games and maybe a look ahead to next weekend. So, Anu, who have you guys got this midweek?
We've got Rennes on Tuesday.
Rennes. How do you feel about that game?
It's the comeback, so it's everyone's got their same game, isn't it?
Okay, so you dealt with them quite handily.
Yeah.
How are you feeling for the return game?
Yeah, fine. It should be a comfortable win. They were poor the last time. We look good. It'll be interesting to see. The good thing now is that it's clear Lampard knows what our best formation is, 4-3-3. It's spelled out now. Like, you can't avoid that anymore. So as long as he just keeps that in check, I think the only slight thing I would change maybe from the weekend, if you're going to talk to me about that, I would like to see maybe Havertz back. I really would like to see Havertz playing alongside Mount in that 8 role, just in front of Kante, and take Kovacic out. I'd like to see that changed. But apart from that, just keep it as it is.
I don't think Thiago
back in because he came back late from Brazil internationals.
Yeah.
And Rudy, I think keep him out personally. And then just make those two changes, bring Silva in, Havertz in, and let's see. Should be very comfortable.
How's Havertz doing, mate?
See, it's interesting you say this because the last time I was in the club, funny enough, I had to take this offline in my Chelsea boys because they were very offended. They were very offended. Figures were being blasted out wrong.
Yeah.
Another sense of agenda being forced, and it's just not going to work. But Havertz doing great.
This is not an agenda. I'm asking you a question.
No, you know what? You know why I'm coming at that one? Because I feel like I didn't close off it last time, so it was still pissing me off. Do you know what I mean? So, how's Havertz doing? He's not fit, clearly. He had his COVID break. But I think, listen, I think I'm so excited for him. I think he just needs to settle in a bit more. Know his exact role. I think it would help if Lampard would make that clear quite early. He's moved him from 10, now a couple games in the 8. I think his best position is the 8, bringing the ball up. I think his flow with the ball, his movement with the ball is superb. And he works hard defensively. Very excited about signing. Things going to be outstanding.
Good. Sam, who have you got in midweek?
Europa League. Yay. Got Ludogorets. Bulgarian side.
We know them well.
Oh, yeah.
They've been in the Champions League a couple times as well, I think. Arsenal beat them a few years ago. Ozil scored that very nice goal against them. Is this your return game against them?
Yeah. So we already played them away. No, we won. That was Antwerp. We lost. We don't beat Belgian teams.
Okay. So who are you expecting to see for this game? You're expecting to see Vinicius, Dele Alli, Winks.
I'm not even sure. I think Dele Alli would be lucky if he gets a game under Mourinho currently, because he's just been ruthless. But I feel like I need to be done, because like Dele Alli's just been poor the last 2 years, in my opinion. If we see Dele Alli, then, you know, he might even start on the bench. But yeah, we'll definitely be a second. It's just non-starting 11 teams mainly, partly because Ludogorets is, I think, the least to worry about out of the teams in our group stage. Possibly even see Bell start because Bell didn't get to start against City because we had a defensive issue when Toby had to get subbed off and we put in the new boy Joe Rhodes in the front that we signed from Swansea. Joe Hart in goal as well. Hopefully, I don't know, might get to see Tanganga finally play a game because he's been injured for a while. And yeah, not really thinking too much about that other than hopefully it won't be a repeat of Antwerp where we missed a lot of key players in the starting 11 and can just get a comfortable win and focus on Sunday for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Are you guys trying to win Europa?
That's the thing. Like, initially, I was saying yes because I did not expect us to be first place right now. So, it's a mind game, mate. I don't even know anymore.
An abundance of riches, yeah?
I'm certain Mourinho is trying to win that. I'm 100%.
I think so as well.
Do you know what? I don't like this abundance of riches.
I think he knows the importance of winning a trophy. Yeah. And I think he'll want to be able to say, look, I brought a trophy to Spurs. They haven't won. Was it since 2007 or so? They haven't won anything since 2007 or whatever year it is. He'll want that. Obviously, the
2008.
Obviously, the Prem is kind of a, if that happens, it happens. Probably not. But you definitely want to pick up something like the Europa.
Yeah. Europa League would be really doable. Problem is that Leicester are in it. They might fancy it themselves as well. Mm. We're in a league. The thing is, like, we got a quarterfinal to play against Stoke as well in the League Cup. And I got to be honest, like, beating Man City has made me forget about Europa League and all these other opportunities that we've got ahead of us. That's how big of a win that was for us. But yeah, I would love to see us win a Europa League. We've won that before, even if it was before my time. And I'd like to see that again, personally.
Yeah. We've got Istanbul. We embarrassingly lost 2-1 away. They're quite comfortably the worst team in our league. While PSG have got Leipzig again, we really need to secure the 3 points here.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
That loss is very, very tough to take because basically our beating of PSG and Leipzig kind of, if we just won these two games against Istanbul, we would have been through. And now by not beating them, we're back in the mix with the other guys now. So we have to beat them and we have to beat them well. And then we just need to draw one of our last two games to see it out. And just to finish with the midweek games, Moises, who have you guys got?
You know what? Yeah, I couldn't even tell you, man. I think it's Moldos or Dundalk, but I'm watching Champions League. That's what I know. I'm going to watch PSG. I'm going to watch Atalanta. I'm going to get my fix that way. But this, Channel 5 Cup is not really my thing.
Yeah, you got Mold and you got Wolves on Sunday at home.
Yeah, I'll probably watch Wolves. I don't think I'm going to watch Mold. I can't.
Nice one, Sam. Upwatch, we call that one. Finish up. Since we've got to a Chelsea and a Spurs fan here, it makes sense for us to look ahead to your game on Sunday. I'll start with you again, Sam. What are your thoughts? Obviously, you're hoping maybe some starters play on Thursday, but you're hoping you come out of that injury, no injuries. What are your thoughts ahead of the game on Sunday? How are you feeling about going up against this Chelsea team who've got it all together now?
Well, you say they got it all together, but like I said before we started filming, I looked at the Newcastle performance. I wasn't too particularly impressed. They went 1-0 up from an own goal. That's just Newcastle. It was a stupid own goal as well, if you ask me, but yeah, then obviously, of course, Timo Werner had a lot of he's got the brilliant pace, and that's what worries about me. It's just his finishing. It's not quite up there compared to other top strikers. But we'll see.
Running in straight lines, I think, is what Moises calls it.
No, I'm just saying it how it is. But like I said, we'll see on Sunday because he did score against us as well when we played them in the cup game. So I don't want to just say like, oh, he's pace merchant, this, that, the other, he ain't going to score against us. Because he could. And, the thing I worry about as well is the fact that we beaten them in the cup game. I hope we don't get cocky when we play them thinking we'd be able to handle them again. I honestly want to see us play how we did against City, because we're going to have some slow centre-back starting And we've got to be able to handle that pace from Werner. But I feel like, you know, for the Chelsea's defense as well, you need to take our attack seriously, especially if you've got Kane slotting that ball over to Son or Ndombele charging through in that middle. You know, I think this is going to be quite a intense game between the two sides. I'd like to see a win, but honestly, I'm very nervous for this game.
Okay, and how about you, Anu?
Hello.
Hello.
The focus on Werner is laughable. I don't know why everyone's focused on Werner. This is a winger. It's a winger who's had 12 goal contributions this season.
Isn't he a striker, mate?
Well, he is a striker, but he's playing out on the wing.
Is that because of his inability to handle Premier League centre-backs?
No, I think
he's... He plays at Aaron Lennon.
No, 100%, it's absolutely not because of that. It's just because of Lampard wants to fit Tammy in the team as well, and he feels
I've got a question. Would you say...
So contribute more from the left, cutting in on the right.
Yeah.
Any winger has 12 goal contributions, 8 goals, 4 assists. That's superb at this rate in the season. He shouldn't be the focus. I don't understand why he's the focus. Tammy scored on the weekend on number 9. And we got an own goal that Chilwell would have put in the net anyway. But I agree with what you say in terms of it wasn't that convincing against Newcastle. But on Sunday, I think we can go out there and win. I love us at the back right now. I love Mendy there. I love Thiago Silva and Zuma. I think that we can contain that. I think we can contain those boys with Kante just in front. It's going to be a tough game. I don't think anyone really knows what's going to happen. I don't think anyone knows. I think Mourinho will be studying all day and night for this game to win. You know, he wants that more than anything. But the game will be open. We're going to get our chances. I believe. And I was giving it big one in the Discord as well, saying I'll be on the live shouting. So...
I've got two questions for you, mate. Firstly, all right, so you talk about Timo Werner getting played on the wing instead. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, I think Kai Havertz was put on the wing a couple of times as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, his first game was on the right wing.
Would you say, first question really is, would you say, you know, Lampard can sometimes be shown to be a bit tactically naive? Just a question out of that. Secondly, with the run of plays that we've had, obviously, you know, we've had a loss and we've had two disappointing draws, but there's some teams, I know I get every fixture's different, but does this bit worry you at all that, you know, like say like your results against West Brom, against Southampton, Man United, and you look at our results and how for two of them, we were comfortably killing them off. Does that bit worry you at all? Genuine questions.
Okay. All you lot have done is take shots at each other.
It's not a shot, it's a question. I want to know how you feel.
It's very loaded.
If anyone ever listens to Jesse Hour,
I do.
It's quite clear that I've always been very critical of Lampard's tactical inept, especially last season. I thought he's very naive with his tactics. So that I agree with you. I think he's got a lot better now, and I haven't seen it recently. I saw at the beginning of the season, he's learning, he's making it clear. He even had an interview recently, he said, look, he's going to make mistakes. So I think he's quite stubborn and naive in that. So yes, I agree with you in that. I think he's getting better. Two, I don't even know what you're yapping in the second. What were you saying in the second?
I was basing it on what some Chelsea fans like. I don't know if you watched the kickoff.
So what are you saying? So wait, hold on. So, okay. I'm not worried. All right, there we go. I'm not worried about that we've had some slip-ups at the beginning of the season because I don't think we've been set as a team. I think that Lampard's only recently found the formation, the players and everything. As soon as we've got Mendy in there and we filled in a few gaps, start playing 4-3-3, clean sheet FC, we'd be looking a lot more solid than we have in the past. So I think we're a different team. I don't think you can compare us to all our games this season. I think you have to just give us the benefit of the doubt and just look at our last 4 or 5 games. And I'm excited for it. Listen, you're nervous. You know what it is.
Yeah, we're both nervous. I admitted before I said I was nervous.
Yeah, because you're nervous, I know, because you're talking some mad. But yeah, listen, it's Sunday. We're there. I'm confident. I'm excited and confident. I really think we could do it.
I'm going to ask, and I'm going to finish up with you, Moises, as the neutral. You probably want both teams to lose. Going into that game, who's your favourite, and where do you think the battle will be won and lost?
I ain't watching that. I'm not watching that. I think Werner's going to run into a lot of players with that, the way that Mourinho defends. I think he's going to run into a lot of defenders. That's all I can say. That's what I'm expecting. Werner's going to run into a lot of defenders. Okay.
What was your analysis of his goal, of his assist, or this run on against?
Are you right, Anu? Anu, you got off half an octave there, mate.
No. What was your analysis?
And you've crossed your arms.
Can you see that in the film? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on. Listen.
What was your analysis of Werner's assist with the running?
It was good. He was running. Like he looked like he lost control of the ball a bit, but he carried on running. He looked up. He was gonna shoot, and he squared it. I don't know what was going through his head.
That was good football. Do you not think that was good football?
He looked up. He was gonna shoot, and he squared it.
Interesting.
Right, that's I've got nothing else to say to that. It looked okay. It looked good. Yeah, the goal came out of it. So that's a good thing. But he looked up. He was gonna shoot. He opened his body up and squared it. That's what I saw.
Okay.
And for me, a £50 million striker. And that's why I asked you the question. You said it yourself. Do you know what I mean? Sorry.
I'm just saying he's 20 million less than Pepe. You're bringing
in the... I know whether Pepe misses or not, yeah, he's taking that shot. Pepe takes shots.
Not if he's off the pitch and red carded. He's not taking any shots.
No, I'm saying that in that position there, he takes the shot. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Sam and Anu, any chance we can get you both on the Discord for next Sunday's game?
What, during the game?
Yeah.
Not for me, no, because I do my own content whilst games are on.
That's fine. We won't want you
to. No, thank you for the offer. But,
No. I'm enjoying the energy. Anu, any chance we can get you on the Discord?
Sam, don't worry, I'll text you.
Anu, any chance we can get you on the Discord for next Sunday's game?
Yeah, I'll be there, 100% be there.
Good. And I'm sure we'll be able to get some of the Touchline Hotspurs lads on there as well. So it should be a spectacle. Moises, I know you say you ain't going to watch it, but I know you'll be posted up on the Discord. And yeah, you know me, I'll be there too. Lads, this has been a funny one. Some real shamelessness.
I just say, Mark, can we just give a quick shout out to all the West Ham fans here? And we need more West Ham fans.
You just mute him.
He muted himself.
I muted him.
Oh my god. Sorry, sir. Finished.
Why would you do that?
Come on, man. That's not how we're finishing. We're not. No,
then you did, didn't it? Shout, didn't it?
We're not shouting out West Ham fans. But anyway,
yeah, why not?
Come on, man.
We need more in the Discord. We do need more in the Discord.
Cool. We need more West Ham fans. Let's be having
you. So what? You don't think Hammers on the Touchline has a nice ring to it?
Not bad.
Let's make it happen.
Okay, you have this amazing ability to throw me off what I'm saying. So, lads, three of the more shameless guests that we've had on Touchline, but it's been very enjoyable. Sam, with the heavily loaded questions, and also the dual inability to answer questions directly.
I get you an answer.
You're always welcome. Thank you. Anu, listen, man. You weren't as shameless as your first appearance. I don't think you necessarily had the platform, but you clearly are always ready for smoke. Always a pleasure to have you on too, brother.
Thank you, man.
Moises, we know each other well, so, you know, I don't need to give you too many pleasantries, but a pleasure.
Give me some. First, I
have a pleasure to have you on too. Everything that Arsenal lacked in their performance, you showed in your performance this evening. And if Arteta can take the spirit that you applied to keep your head above water in this pod and apply it to his management of Arsenal, you guys will be all right.
Well, what's up?
I'm muting you again.
Bye.
And with that being said, lads, have a nice evening, yeah?
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
And you too, Moises. At peace.
Podcast Network.